and racial antagonisms
to promote the full distribution of public information to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together,
and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters
vitally affecting the community.
The Pacifica Mission Statement.
90.7 KPFK, Los Angeles.
Hey! From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway down to the sunny shores of PCH. Guess what? It's the car show. We are broadcasting every Saturday live on 90.7 KPFK FM, Los Angeles, for the last 51 years. I am hosting this week, Michelle Spencer. Our humble host, Mark Vaughn, is on assignment in Italy, and he will be back next week to join us again. And with me today is automotive journalism veteran and race car driver, host of Garaje Latino on Believe Network in his 20th year, and current president of Hispanic Motor Press, Ricardo Rodriguez Long.
Muy buenas tardes. It's a pleasure to be with you, Michelle. We're going to miss Mark, but I'm sure we got a lot to talk about. There's so many events, you know, as every week that goes by, it seems that there's an increment of car events happening around Los Angeles. So definitely it is something to enjoy for everyone.
There is. And boy, as summer is going to, spring's already showing a lot of things on our calendar, Ricardo. So now, let's get to it.
And this not only cars, because when we talk about cars, usually we talk about real cars, right? But actually, you know, we include pedal cars. Why not slot cars?
Huh? Oh,
why
yes.
Not slot cars?
Hey, you know what? They started doing this in the 50s, didn't they? Slot car racing?
Yes. Yes. And it became very popular, not just with kids, but there were like world tournaments of slot cars. And we were very lucky that actually, I didn't know it was still open. It's called Piranha Speedway.
Oh, yeah. Piranha Speedway. Yeah. So there is a place you can go, and it's in Whittier, right here in LA County, where you can go slot car racing. I actually have friends who do this.
And tonight they have an event. So
yes,
if you know about slot cars, or if you don't know about slot cars, that's where you need to go tonight. So 8542 Norwalk Boulevard, 8542 Norwalk Boulevard in Whittier. It's the, how you pronounce it, Piranha Speedway.
Piranha. Mm-hmm.
The Piranha Speedway. It's going to be a lot of fun. And they have even vintage and modern cars. I did it when I was a kid. So it's always very, very, actually, I still have a slot car.
Well,
a slot track. I have.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can go and enjoy that. Hey, it's on our calendar. Thank you, Mark, for that. And also, don't forget that if you want to go see some real cars racing, Paris Auto Speedway is underway for the season. And they're going to have sprint cars on March 16th, 7
Which is
p.m.
Tonight.
Yes.
Which is tonight.
So, yeah, the sprint cars are their big event every month. It's a huge draw, huge draw. So I always enjoy it.
What is amazing is the skills required to be driving these sprint cars at high speeds, completely sideways. I'm always amazed, not just at the technology side, but the suspension on these, you know, sprint cars, just amazing. All four wheels that are different size, all at different angles. I'm sure there's a lot of tricks to that. And
yes,
it will drive any enthusiast crazy trying to set up a car to drive like that. It must be amazing.
It's hard. Yes. I've pit crewed, and there's different tire pressures for each tire. And then the racer will come back and say, nope, fix it. I don't like that pressure. Change it. And this and that. And the suspension's wrong. The right tire's wrong. It's always about feeling comfortable, because you do have to turn right to go left in sprint cars.
And that's when they call you driving with your elbows up, right?
Elbows up. Hammer down. So that's at Paris Auto Speedway, and you can get tickets at the gate.
And today, it's been going on since probably 9 a.m. It's going to go through all day Saturday. And tomorrow at Willow Springs, we have the Vintage Auto Racing Group with about five or six different racing vintage groups that divide them into open wheels, sports cars, and production cars. Mostly the cars are from the 1970s and older, mostly are 1950s and 1960s. So if you are into vintage racing, head down to Willow Springs Raceway, which is about an hour and a half from downtown Los Angeles. It's one of the best facilities in the West, Willow Springs Raceway. And you can have a lot of fun. People are always amazing. This is one of the best things about vintage auto racing, that you can get to talk to everyone. You might end up helping someone, being a pit crew when you show up. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to see these old cars still racing. It's not easy because it requires a totally different mindset. These things are not built with thinking of longevity like we're thinking today in the cars. So, but it's there's definitely the spirit of driving. It's with everyone involved in vintage racing. I've been participating in that for a long, long time. And I encourage you to tomorrow, Sunday, hey, just drive out to Willow Springs, Rosemont, California, about an hour and a half from downtown LA, and you can get to see some of the best vintage racing in the West.
Hmm. Are you going to be putting anything on the track?
Unfortunately, I'm missing this weekend because I'm leaving on Monday. To do Route 66 with another group of gearheads, and it should be an interesting trip. We're thinking it's going to be about 3,000 miles, and when you go 3,000 miles in a 1965 car with no power, no air conditioning, no power steering, no heater, it's quite a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck with that. Cool. Well, you'll be racing at some point this season, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's in the plans.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, we're talking about racing. I think there's something also happening. I think it's next week at the at Pomona.
Yeah. Okay. So you have to call it the In-N-Out Burger Drag Strip. That's its new name.
That's the new official
name. That is the new name. Yes. So there's going to be NHRA Winter Nationals presented by Lucas Oil. That's also part of the name. On March 21st through 24th at In-N-Out Burger Drag Strip out here in Pomona. So this will be the first time they've been out here with the new Top Fuel car being run by Tony Stewart. So it used to be that his wife, Leah Pruitt, was the driver of this car. And now he's jumping in and he's going to do this. And, you know, this isn't really his gig. So this will be interesting.
I will not be surprised at all if he does well, because I think that Tony Stewart is probably one of the best American talents ever. And he has demonstrated that several times, and pretty much on everything that he's driven, he's always shown that he's very capable to run at the front all the time. It's quite a character, quite a talent, and I'm not surprised that he will do well with this. I don't know, what is it, 3,400, 10,000 horsepower car? I don't know.
But, I do believe it's more than 10,000, and so it'll be really fun to watch him. And I agree with you, him and Kyle Larson, you just put those guys in anything, you know. And by the way, as a little sidebar, Kyle Larson's going to run the Indy 500 this year. And they've been working with his car, getting him fitted and everything for almost a year now. So, that's the kind of versatility that I love to see in race car drivers. So this will be really fun. Another new thing this year will be that if you are military and a first responder, you can get discounts using GovX, and that's their website or their app for discounts to all of the drag racing presented by NHRA this whole season. So for details on that, even if you're not military, you just want to get passes to the Winter Nationals coming up or other races throughout the season, go to NHRA.com.
If you don't want to go to Willow Springs tomorrow, Sunday, you want to stay a little bit closer, there is another event that is quite interesting because I think a lot of people don't know that Leo Fender from Fender Guitars started that company in Fullerton, California. And tomorrow they are celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Fender Stratocaster, a guitar famous with rock and roll. And what goes with rock and roll? Hot rods.
Of course.
So there's going to be this meet, which will be, you know, rock and roll and cars. And I think it's going to be quite a lot of fun. You get to tour the museum, and actually they're going to be even raffling a Stratocaster, and a guitar that has been, you know, synonymous with hot rods and special cars. I can think of so many Jeff Becks, for example, you know, who's been a hot rodder all his life, and he always played the Stratocaster. So it's going to be very interesting. The Fender Museum is at 500 South Raymond Street in Fullerton. Again, 500 South Raymond Street in Fullerton, California. The event is going to start around 10 a.m. and it probably will end around 1 or 2. So try to make it before lunch, and I'm sure you're going to see something quite interesting. What else is going on?
Well, we have an event called Riggs and Red Bull, Saturday, March 23rd, and that's going to happen at Overland Vehicle Systems, and that's in Santa Fe Springs, and it's going from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Huh. Think of it as a micro-mini Overland West Fest.
What is an Overland Fest, for those that, just like me, don't know what is an Overland Fest?
Mark... Well, Mark put this in here.
The overland, it's sort of a new term for 4x4. You know, overlanding meaning like you get into this 4x4 and you go somewhere searching for this life adventure. And you hope that you get the right vehicle in the right gear to make sure you're able to come back to civilization. So that's the idea. And this has grown in the last few years, where now we have these events that they don't call them 4x4 events now. They call them overlanding vehicles. And basically it's that. It's just a vehicle that will take you there. I've seen a lot of very interesting modifications done to, you know, pickup trucks, real big trucks, you know, Jeeps and so forth, where they can get sort of sleeping quarters built in. And full range of accessories where you can literally live there for probably a couple of weeks without having contact with anybody else. So it's good. You know, I think if you're into off-roading and if you're into camping, what I used to call camping, I guess now it's called overlanding or overland, this could be a quite interesting event. Where is this happening, Michelle?
Santa Fe Springs. The address is 9830 Norwalk Boulevard, Suite 130.
Okay, so there you go. If you want to learn what overlanding is about, if you want to check out some accessories that you can add to your 4x4 vehicle, make it to the Riggs and Red Bull event that is going to be next Saturday, I guess, right? Is this the next Saturday? Yes, next Saturday.
Correct.
9830 Norwalk Boulevard, Santa Fe Springs. That's the event that's going to happen in the morning. So we're right on time that you can still listen to us after the event.
Very good.
Now, if you're into racing, especially with production cars, there is another event next Saturday, a little bit different. This is not about going away, but it's about going fast. And this is a very unique, it's the first time they did these type of events. It's an organization called Pete and Paddock. Pete and Paddock and BMW Car Club of America have joined forces to create this first show that they call it the NA Heroes. I'm not sure what the NA is, but it has to do something with grid icon cars. And it's going to be celebrating everything that is BMW naturally aspirated cars, which means that's, you know, we have fuel injection now for quite a long time. So this means we're talking BMWs from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So it could be quite interesting. They're going to have also the Bobby Rahal Letterman M3 team. The cars are running the IMSA series. And so they're going to be doing some walkarounds with these cars, and they're expecting to have quite a lot of cars since he's organizing jointly with the BMW Car Club. So this is going to happen where? It's going to happen in Long Beach at the Shoreline Aquatic Park, which is basically where the Long Beach Grand Prix is going to be run next month. Mm-hmm. So that's a, you know, nice scenery. The Queen Mary will be in the background. So the Lions Lighthouse, it's there. There's a lot of places to eat and drink. If you're into drinking beer with your bratwurst, is that what you pronounce?
The
German.
Yeah.
Okay. So that could be an interesting event. Again, mm-hmm. it will start at noon. And the Rahal Letterman M3 team is going to be shown, I think it's at 3 p.m. So you have time to make it. That could be a quite interesting event.
Yeah. I would say get there early, because I've been to other car events at this park, and the parking and getting in there is kind of hard. If everyone shows up all at the same time, go early, you know, maybe park and then go get something to eat and then come back.
Yep. Yep. There is another event that is coming up that we want to kind of give you the heads up, because you're going to have to get your fully charged card, because it will be a lot of energy in this silent cruise.
Don't you want to go to a silent cruise? Come on.
But it's silent not because the cars are not running.
No, the cars are running. They're just electric. And so maybe if you have one of those electric cars that has a tone or some kind of thing where there's a pedestrian alert, maybe you'll be the one who makes noise, but the rest of the cars are going to be perfectly silent at the Peterson Museum on March 31st, because this is their first all EV cruise in. And so they will have their usual coffee. They'll have all the usual, you know, C&B scene stuff that Peterson is known for when they hold these events. But this is all EVs. So they're going to have some other things on display. They will be able to not only show you what your car can, you know, what it looks like and what it can do. You can talk to other owners, but they're going to have some land speed record vehicles around and some one-off customs, and all these concepts, and everything's going to be EVs. So,
Also, Michelle, I just want to mention, I believe that the Tesla exhibition is still going on at the Peterson. And if you have not seen that, it's quite interesting, because it's the whole history of the Tesla company, from the first concept car, from the first prototype, from the original yellow car that it was based on the Lotus Elan, all the way to the trucks, the rockets, and everything is tied into this electric car company that Elon Musk created, named Tesla. And they even have, I think a lot of people know that Elon Musk was pretty much into the what do you call it, trilogy of these books. I'm trying to think of what's the name of the author? These science fiction books that he read when he was a kid. No. It will come back to me. But anyway, even the books are there. So it's quite interesting. They have done a wonderful job at the museum with this display, because a lot of people can see really the difference between an electric car and a conventional car. And it's very good for kids to learn that, I think. They have one of the early electric cars from 1910, I think, or 1912, which it escapes the name right now. But anyway, you're going to have this silent cruise going on, and then you can go into the museum and see this exhibition. And I think you're going to be quite surprised how fun all these can be.
And especially, a lot of people don't understand or remember that EVs were created around the turn of the century. Yes. I know Ford had one, and he made one for his wife. If you go to Dearborn and go to the Ford Museum, there's one in there. And so people think this is a brand new technology, and it is not. So it's a real eye-opener.
The LA taxi company, the first LA taxi company, was all electric cars.
There you go. See?
I think we have told people enough about it.
Yeah, did we do we got to move on, huh?
You know, well, we know the Acura Long Beach Grand Prix. It's coming up next month, so get ready for that. And we also, La Jolla Concours d'Elegance, that's another quite important event in Southern California. Those are coming up in early April.
Same weekend, actually, as the Grand Prix. April 19th to 21st.
Don't they talk to each other, all these groups?
I know, you would I always think they would.
It's nope. always, there's just too many things in the same weekend. And I still, if you have an older car, if you have a roadster from the 1930s or 40s that has what we call a flathead V8, there's an event for you that you need to get ready because the Pasadena Roadster Club has a reliability run on Sunday, April 28th. So we have given you plenty of notice. We hope you can make it there.
Yeah.
Michelle, should we talk about what happened this week? Some news?
We got news. So if you have a Ford EV, which at this point in their lineup is either a Ford F-150 Lightning truck or the Mustang Mach-E, you can get an adapter for the Tesla supercharger system for free. So we have had news, it's old news, that Ford and is basically striking a deal with Tesla to allow access to those supercharger stations. But this is a deal where Ford is giving their customers the adapter for free through June 30th. And the way that you can do this, if you have one of these Fords, is go through your Ford Pass smartphone app and order it. And then Ford will ship it to you. And it's first come, first serve. They don't say how many they will accommodate. But if you are tardy and you miss out, you can still order one. They'll be available, but you'll have to pay for it. It'll be $230 plus the taxes and the shipping.
I'm very glad that Ford and Tesla are collaborating on this because we know that infrastructure is one of the obstacles for people to really get into the electric vehicles. I have many horror stories already with electric vehicles where I've been stranded or not been able to charge, and it's not fun. So by now the Ford owners having the option to be able to use the Tesla superchargers, that's an incentive to continue. So
absolutely, it's so important.
I really appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The reason why that's so significant is because we've had so much anecdotal evidence that the Tesla superchargers work and they're reliable.
Yes.
And the other systems, because they're not regulated by the government or anybody else, there's no oversight, they're down a lot. Or their customer support is terrible and they can't help you when you're stranded. So this is huge. It's really huge for Ford customers. So jump on.
And I can see, Michelle, I can see that other manufacturers will follow with this. We already hear rumors and other news. So I will not be surprised that we'll see other manufacturers stepping up to do the same.
Yeah, it's a good move to keep your customers happy.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Tell me about these Parents Magazine and the list.
All right. So you and I have buddies in the automotive journalism world. And every once in a while, you know, you get asked to be on a panel to determine the best of a certain type of car. Well, this Parents Magazine every year, they get a couple of journalists and other people, you know, influencers, and they have a selection of what cars are the best in certain categories for parents. So their angle is, what kind of things would you want your family to be in? And they've just published their best family car list for 2024 in a lot of different categories, like best road trip car, best luxury SUV, best midsize SUV, best compact, best sedan, and best backseat technology and things like that. So if you want to see the full list, you can just go to parents.com website or Google Parents Best Family Car Awards 2024. Each of their picks has a photograph of the vehicle that they picked and a little outline and then a link. And the link will take you directly to the manufacturer's site so that you can learn more about it or do your configuring and order one right there. And one of the things that...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to ask, do we know some of the winners by chance?
Oh, yeah. Actually, one of the ones that I thought was pretty cool was this Best Family Technology Award, and they gave it to Chrysler and Jeep for their rear seat monitoring camera system. Okay. And right now it's in the Jeep Grand Cherokee L, and it's a three-row SUV. And what they did was they have the front seat people, you know, whoever's the driver and the front seat passenger, okay, they can monitor and communicate with the people in the center and the third row. And they've got a camera and a microphone speaker so that mom doesn't have to turn around and yell or slap you.
And with the camera, I guess you can also see what they're doing in the back.
Uh-huh. So. Make sure that they're okay. The award that they had was Best New Driver Technology. And they gave this to GM because they have a teen driver system that's programmable on the Chevy Trax. It's only on this one model. Now, if you get your new teenage driver a Trax and you're the parents, you can assign driving restrictions to it. They program top speed. You can program radio volume. You can even program it so that the car will not be able to be put in drive until everyone in there has a seatbelt buckled.
You know, I like all these. This is very, very good. I mean, I remember my son's teenage years, and I'd be completely worried about, you know, okay, what are they doing with the car? Are they safe or not? And then you see a car go by with four to five teenagers, all the windows open, you know, the radio is full blasting, and you go, oh my God, that's looking for trouble. So I can program this.
You can program it. And then after they get back from going to the dance or the movies or whatever they were doing, parents, you can get a report card on what the kid was doing. Top speed, excessive speed, so that you can sit there and go, hi, how was your night? And you know exactly what they were doing and where they went and how much speeding they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think all the integration of technology, if it's done cleverly like this, I think it's very useful because it kind of relieves you a little bit of that bad feeling that you have sometimes when your kids are on the cars by themselves and you don't know if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So just by making sure that everyone has the seatbelts on, you know, properly buckled before they leave, that's a big one. I think
It really is. It's a life-saving thing.
And unfortunately, statistics don't lie, and we know that 70%, that's a big number. So just knowing that they have the seatbelt on and knowing that they cannot have the radio blasting so they can hear a siren or hear another a car approaching, that's also a safety item.
Yeah. So parents.com for the rest of all the entries, and there's several categories. I mean, I'm thinking probably like 20 categories.
Oh, that's too many. That's too many.
It's a lot. Yeah.
I also hear some rumors that an electric car company is coming up with new models. Is that correct?
This week, we saw three new models coming out of Rivian. And I would say this. Irvine-based Rivian has three new models that they premiered. You know how Apple has their big premieres of their new phones and their new products? Well, the car companies do the same thing. So they had a big unveiling. And they were not telling anybody what they were going to show. And so Ed Kim was there, for example. And if you follow him on Facebook, he was like, wait a minute, here's the first one. Here's the second one. And they rolled out three. And they are really cool looking. They're SUVs. And they're called the R2, the R3, and the R3X. They're taking reservations. Those are available on the Rivian unanimously that were posted. We all were really cute. It's a very adventure overlanding and way the wilderness and get like the pick. Things are and they're building eventually Georgia, but RJ Scaringe recently set the production in Georgia. But in the meantime, they're looking to get this R2 and R3 going in Normal, Illinois.
That's a big investment from this company. that it really gets my attention, because financially, I think there's a couple of hiccups currently. So to be launching not one, not two, but three models at the same time, are they asking too much? I don't know. That's going to be interesting. We know they make a very, you know, so far the product has been a good product. It's still a new company. And I think some of these new companies sometimes don't realize that building cars is not that easy and that simple. There is a lot of complications, a lot of unexpected things to get the quality right. And all these new entrants will work. You know, that's that's one of the things, is where you find people that have the skills to do all these. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And it is interesting to see the financing. And well, I just before we move on, I mean, Rivian must be doing something right, because they are getting great ratings out of Consumer Reports. And just recently, it got named the top brand in owner satisfaction amongst all cars, not just for EVs. So it's a company that's really interesting to watch. I did hear something this week in other
EVs. Now, regarding, I have a question regarding these statistics, because regarding those statistics, I don't know. I would like to see data on that, because the volume is very small. So how can you... You know, the more volume you have, you will have more responses, right? And then if I'm comparing a company that's making 10,000 cars a year with a company that makes 1 million cars a year, obviously I'm going to have a lot more complaints, right? So I would like to look at that to see how what are their metrics to talk about this. But definitely the cars are pretty nice looking, I have to say. They, on the design side, they're doing something right. I like what I see.
And obviously I see a ton of them on the road down here in the Orange County area. Yeah. Let's see. So what's going on in LA? Are we supposed to be watching out for these self-driving taxis now?
Well, what I'm surprised, Michelle, is that after everything that happened in San Francisco with the GM robo-taxi, the robo-taxi for the LA area, it's going to be where they're going to be working. You can, well, I think... them and schedule, you know, the last 50,000 requests, and then drink sort of a novelty, which actually myself I wanted to do. I wanted to, like, to see with no one at this standing job, and he's one of the leaders in this own robotaxi. Be quite interesting.
Was I right to hear that it was they were giving away rides for free for a while or something?
I think so. Yes, I believe that that's the case. But as I checked their website and it was like, okay, all spots seem to be taken already. Uh-huh. But we will see these cars around town, and they, little by little, they will be more accepted and people will use them. I don't see why not. It's technology.
Yeah. Do they have the big stickers on the side that say, be careful, I'm a self-driving car?
They're painted pink with green polka dots.
So no, you can't kidding. Miss it.
Just kidding.
No, they should be. The lawyer says.
Yes, the law.
Put a whole thing on the side that's a disclaimer.
Since we're talking about self-driving cars and electric cars, right? California, you know, just had a very special moment. Now we have 100,000 public electric chargers, electric vehicle chargers in California. So that's big news, I think, because it's a milestone in this transition towards all cars being electric in about a decade or so. I'm still questioning if that's going to happen.
Me too.
Yep, we have reached the 100,000 public chargers. So that's a big milestone. And as I understand, there are over 500,000 at-home chargers already. So obviously, if you have a charger, you probably have an electric car. So that means that this movement towards clean transportation and zero emission transportation keeps moving forward. And I think it's great. The sales of zero emission vehicles in California has grown quite a lot. It's not the same across the country, but in California, especially Southern California and the San Jose, San Francisco area, has doubled from last year. So all those are you know, positive things, building this bigger and better network.
Are we having a thing in California where I know the news recently has been that sales are leveling off of EVs. Now, is that the same in California? Or are we?
No, I think in California they're still selling, not as many, but they're still. When you look at the percentages from previous years, there is an increment. I personally think that it's not the only solution to transportation in the future. It's one of the solutions, and I think if you're in a city, just like if you need to commute in LA, San Francisco, San Diego, within the city, and you have access to a charger at home, it's a viable option. If that's what you want, I think that can work.
It makes it easier. Yeah, I had an Ioniq recently, and I know that there's a free charging station right over here by my bagel shop. And I got on it twice. And, you know, it was great. It's at the shopping center next to Ralph's and a couple of other businesses. And it's free. And it worked. I felt like I had hit the lottery.
I got some data to share to your question. And approximately about 24% of all new cars sold in California in the last 12 months are zero emission vehicles. So, that comes from the California Energy Commission. To date, we're talking about 1,800,000 zero emission vehicles sold through the state. So that is it makes California. If California was a country in terms of electric vehicle volume, it will take the fourth place, China being the first. United States second, Germany third, and California, if it was its own country, it ranked in fourth place. So
interesting. Good.
Thousands of dollars are available in grants and rebates.
Yes.
For low-income Californians. You can go to climateaction.com to find out more about it.
Cool.
Did you drive an electric vehicle last week?
Well, I didn't. I drove.
What did you drive last week?
Get this, Ricardo. They gave me a Mazda.
Hey.
Can you believe it?
Well, actually, yes. They didn't have to ask. This is well. She has a Miata at home, RX-8 at home.
Yes.
Let's give her a four-door car. Listen, that is a Mazda.
I've been friends with the PR guy at Mazda for years. So when I told him I was back on radio, he said, all right, great, here you go. So what they gave me is the Mazda 3 hatchback. And, you know, this is a classic in terms of what they call the hot hatches. And yes. Mazda 3, it was the first one. And everyone else, you know, the Veloster came along later, and then they decided to redo the Corolla like a hatchback. But this is the original, and it has not been updated as far as a lot of changes. It's just become a little more, like we've said before, when you had a Mazda, a little more luxury, a little more premium. Yeah. And it's still got the SkyActiv technology going on in it. It's wonderful for handling. I mean, this is what Mazdas are made for, is handling. And that's what they love to do, is put a car out there that people enjoy driving, you know? It's a lot of fun.
Yes, I agree. The Mazda has quite a very distinctive feel when you drive it. I really like the dynamics of the car. A car is a feel, very agile, very light, but they're very well put. And they're delightful to drive. I mean, if you enjoy driving a car at medium or high speed, this hatchback, it's really one of those pocket rockets from the 80s that upgraded.
It is. And it does come in a sedan too. If you want something a little more urbane, you know, you don't have to get the hatch. They do still make the sedan. It does come with a stick only at the lowest trim level. Now, this is something that is weird for me. If you go at the bottom of their trim levels, which there's six of them for the Mazda 3, at $24,000, you got yourself a stick shift. If you go to the higher trim levels, it's all automatic, but with paddle shifters, which is what I have on my Miata. So I guess in that sense, they're actually marketing smart, because the reason why I used to have a Mazda 3 and then I switched to the Miata, but that's my daily driver. And my other car that has the stick is the one that is the fun car, right? So right. It actually makes sense, because this is marketed to people who are commuters and who are going to need this car to get around. It's easy to park. It's easy to find places. You know, you're not going to have trouble when you're going to a downtown parking lot finding a place to park a Mazda.
There is enough space in the rear seats for two adults. It's one of those hatchbacks that is not really compromising the interior space.
Yes.
I think that's important, because sometimes other manufacturers are putting emphasis on saying, oh, look how big our cargo space is at. But if you actually have a four-door vehicle, it's because you think that sometimes you're going to be taking friends with you, right? So yeah, you're going to need that space.
It's true. Even my RX-8 has space in the back. That's a four-person car. But yeah, if your top trim level, which is what, of course, they gave me, is topped out at $36,000. And so, you know, this is a bargain for a car. 250 horsepower. It has a 2.5 liter turbo in the top trim, and it's all leather inside and premium.
That power plant, that engine is the same as the, I believe, is the same 2.5 turbo engine that you find in the CX-5 and the CX-50.
Correct.
Which it's a much larger car, heavier car. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I will think that that's a lot of motor for that, and will make it very, very fast.
Very fun to drive. So, there is something new for this year that they put in. Okay, so you know how some places with the tech, the screen is sort of down and you have to look down to your right? Well, they've moved it up. And it's 10.5 inches only. It's not too big. And it's right there at your line of sight, right, kind of to the right of your steering wheel. So this is a good improvement. And they still have the shift knobs in the center console. So you do not have to look down at all. Once you learn how to work it with the center knob, you're golden. So I think this is a good improvement. That's really all they did for this year.
I always remember when they introduce the system, you know, the operational system to use your navigation system and all that. Mazda has its own philosophy. And I remember the saying, hey, it's a little bit harder to understand and to learn. But once you learn it, it's like brainless. It's like you just put your hand down and you already know your finger can move left and right. And you got everything in your screen without you having to look at the screen and try to put your finger somewhere else. Right.
Yeah.
So we do have a Mazda at home. So I'm very familiar. And I have to say that, yes, once you know the trick, it's brainless and you just sort of rest your hand on the center console and you have access to pretty much all the communications, navigations, audio systems, and so forth. So I think it's good. Now, you mentioned there are different trims. Do they still offer sort of the sporty version? I think it's called carbon. Do they still offer that?
Yeah, that's actually a middle trim level. And yeah, it's there. Wow, why didn't I write down the name of it? But yes, carbon something. I'm sorry.
I think it's called Carbon Edition, that it's sort of the sportier version. And it doesn't, I don't understand what doesn't have. I mean, you have plenty of things that you need for every day. And I think because Mazda is trying to move into that premium segment, the top of the line are offering, I think it's a better audio system. I think the seats themselves are very similar to the Carbon Edition. Maybe there's a couple of trims.
Right. They have, it's called the Carbon Turbo.
There you go.
And see, Mazda likes to do sort of special editions. And so it has bigger wheels and it has different finishes that the others in the lineup don't have. And that's what this is. It's basically, if you want to have sort of a special edition Mazda 3, get the carbon edition. That's what it's called.
Now, if you're thinking of commuting in a fun car, maybe you want to go with the base model, because I'm sure you're going to get probably, about 30 miles per gallon or so?
Yeah.
Or a little bit more?
Yeah. The Mazdas don't do great as far as MPGs. It's average.
Right. Well, but that's the trade-off. I mean, if you want to have fun with the car and you want to feel the power and feel the car actually doing what it does best, which is handling, you probably are going to be a little heavier on your right foot, right?
Correct. Oh, no. Oh, wait. Did I say that? No.
So what else? Well, I tell you what I drove,
which
is, it had to do with a little bit of saving the environment, I guess, because there is a hybrid version. But a car that I was very, very surprised. And my friends, I tell you, if you look luxury, now, if you want to move into the luxury segment today, there are a lot of options. But what I'm noticing is that each manufacturer is sort of finding their own niche within the luxury market. There's some ones that are offering you a lot of performance. There's some companies that are all about the exterior design. Some companies have, 100, 200 speakers, so you have best audio system in the world. But there is a company that I noticed this last decade has been nothing but the interior. Good jobs on the exterior, but I think the focus is on the interior. And I'm talking about Lincoln, the American luxury maker. Mm-hmm. And, it started with their big truck. And now I recently also drove the Corsair, which I was very surprised about the interior. And they had the opportunity to drive the all new, brand new 2024 Nautilus. And this Nautilus, it's really built from the inside out. This is a certain level of sophistication that you sort of expect now from Lincoln, and they keep delivering something better on each product. I was very surprised about a couple of things. First, the seat construction, the seat design, beyond having good ergonomics, is the materials used, the color combinations. When you open the door, you see the interior, go like, wow, this is luxury. This is, and it's their main thing. A whole panoramic display in front of you. So it goes from the left. It's about 8 inches high. It is about 24 inches from your screen. And I can hear you fine, Michelle, so don't worry. I think you're worrying about it, but I can hear you fine.
Okay.
This display, it's almost like a computer that you can have applications. You can have the internet when you're parked, obviously. But, you can watch video, YouTube videos on the display.
Wow.
So it was like, wow, this is like way too much for myself, but I can see where a lot of people are into the technology. They like all these new technology, and it was very well done. And having that distance between you and the screen, it does make a big difference. The screen is pretty much almost in line with the hood, so you really don't have to take your eyes off the road to scan things that are happening within the screen. So that was quite amazing. You feel like you really connected to the navigation system or to the audio system. The audio system is a Revell Ultima 3D Audio with 28 speakers, typical of Lincoln, outstanding sound. It's also, this car incorporates something that is nothing new, but I think Lincoln is taking advantage of the technology, which is the digital scent. Yes, when you're in the car can feel you can set the ambient that you want, and now you got these different aromas and fragrances coming through the car that they can actually wake you up, make you happy, and with names like Ozonic Azure, Violet Cashmere, Cloud Balsam, I think it is.
Balsam,
Twilight,
yeah.
Twilight Embers. I don't know who comes with these names up, but I have to say that it's quite interesting. There is one feature in this new Lincoln that it allows you to, you stop the car, or actually you can do it before you go into, let's say you get off work and you facing, oh, I got an hour drive home because it's going to be bumper to bumper. You want to take a quick break at the beginning, or you get home and go, oh my God, I spent the last hour bumper to bumper. I want to take a break. You just press a button and the seat will recline. The display, this panoramic display that goes from side to side, will change colors. Music sounds will start emanating from these 28 speakers. You start feeling these scents coming through, these flowery smells to relax you. And the massage chair starts, what I would say, pampering you after your drive. So it's quite an amazing sensation. It's quite a moment that you feel. And it's, you know, in an ultra quiet cabin, because Lincoln does a very good job in isolating all the exterior sounds. So that's one of the features that is on this new Nautilus, that it really rejuvenates you. You know, it is something that it's quite unique at the moment. And something else that is interesting, that I found interesting, is that this vehicle now has what they call the Blue Cruise, that it actually can drive itself once you are in an interstate or highway. And we tested it, and it's hard not to have your foot ready close to the brake pedal, because you have to trust that the automobile is going to do what it does, and it actually accelerates and it brakes, and you put the turn signal, it's going to pass the car in front of you, and you just let it do its work, and technology, it's working. So a lot of technology integration, a lot of premium feeling within this car that I was very happy to be driving. So I think it's a home run. I would say it is a golazo because it is a goal for the company. And there was something distinctive about this car that I was trying to figure out. Okay, I see something with the side panels, with the coloring, and I've seen these sort of little touches, and I was thinking, where have I seen this? And I go, oh, that's right, these things are popular in China. And then I realized that this is the first Nautilus that is made in China and is being imported to the United States. And as we know, some car manufacturers are doing very well in China. And I think, I will have to double check, but I think Lincoln sales are almost 50% in China and 50% in the United States. So that's something also to take into account, because obviously companies are expanding into all markets, and the Chinese market now is the biggest car market in the world. So it will make sense that we'll have this American presence with luxury in China.
Wow. Yeah, it is a gorgeous car. I love the sort of Art Deco lines to it. And it definitely, I've seen it at the LA Auto Show. Beautiful car, just amazing and so comfortable.
They do have one version that they call the Jet Package. And also, of course, they have the famous black label. These cars start around $50,000 or so. They can top up around $75,000-$80,000. A huge Vista roof, you know, one of the best
panoramic roofs
that I've seen. Yeah, panoramic roofs. Yeah. And something that a lot of journalists focus sometimes on, the powertrain. It is powered by a 2-liter turbo engine, 250 horsepower, 8-speed. The hybrid version has a 100 kilowatt electric motor that gives it a kick, but you know, it has plenty of power. This car is not about the, you know, about going fast. This car is about enjoying that moment inside where you can really feel relaxed and you being pumper. I have to say, I was being pumper when I was driving this car, between the sounds, the fragrances, the massage. And I was like, hey, I want to keep driving longer. If my commute is 2 hours, I can go 3 hours. Why not? I'm enjoying the music.
Right. So wonderful for long trips then.
Definitely for long commutes. This was a car that was quite amazing.
And stylish.
stylist. That's right. So, Michelle, God, we're almost running out of time. Our friends can follow up on social media, I believe.
Yeah. You know, we decided to get a new Facebook page. So
what is
that
new Facebook page?
Go ahead and try to find us.
So what's the name of the new Facebook page?
Called The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM.
All right. All right. So
on Facebook.
So find us on Facebook. Pretty soon you'll find us on the internet. And of course, we are here at KPFK like we do it every Saturday. We have some music coming up and I can't recall the name of the program, but Mark is going to beat me up when he gets here back from Italy because I could not remember the name of the show, but we miss him and he will have a lot to tell us. As I understand, he was filming some type of movie, the follow-up to some Enzo movie that, you know, with some, he was
movie.
In Bari, Italy. So I'm sure we'll see all the video footage on social media and the paparazzis.
Yes. I hope so. Yes. Can't wait to hear everything when he gets
this
back.
Is The Car Show on KPFK. Michelle Ricardo and Mark will see you next week. And until then, be motoring safe.
Yes. Keep the sunny side up.
Coming up this week on LA Theater Works.
In a crammed police station in occupied France, a group of men wonder why they've been arrested.
I am walking down the street before. A car pulls up beside me. A man gets out and measures my nose. They measure my nose.
Ari Gross and Gregory Itzen star in Arthur Miller's Incident at Vichy, next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
This is Nick, host of Bike Talk Online at KPFK since 2008. I used to have a car. But you don't need a car to get around LA. And we talk about that every episode.
Just do it!
I donated my car to KPFK, called 877-KPFK-AUTO. They took it away. Tax deduction. Anyone can have their car taken away. Cars, boats, motorcycles, any fossil fuel vehicle. Leaf blowers, not a vehicle. Call 877-KPFK-AUTO. Donate your car to KPFK. Help the station. And commute by bike. There's no traffic on a bike.
Hi, this is Shepard Ferry, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. This is People Powered Radio.
DJ Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro-Cubana, Cha-Cha-Cha, Afrobeat High Life. It's all in the mix. Radio Beat High Life. It's all in the mix. Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Showtime. Tune in.